This is Slice of Sci-Fi, episode 1,000. 1,000 episodes. Welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guests today are here to talk about one of the many geeky productions, geeky products from Hero Collector, a group that loves Star Trek, that loves genre, that loves space opera as much as I do, as much as you do. Ben Robinson and Ian Spelling are responsible for a series of books about Star Trek, about Battlestar Galactica, but here today we are talking about a special book, Star Trek, the original series, A Celebration. And as a personal note, these books are gorgeous, they're detailed, they are in depth, and I think most Star Trek fans would easily love to, you know, cuddle up with them at night to fall asleep with, but that might be just my opinion. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Hello.
So, the Celebration book, that was something put together to honor the anniversary of the original Star Trek, which is, what, 55 years?
It is. We all feel very young.
Well, tell us how the idea for such a volume came about and what the goal was, what items you thought needed to be in this book.
Well, that goes back a couple of steps with Ben before I even got involved. So Ben, jump in with Voyager.
So, yeah, so this is actually the second Star Trek Celebration book. So we did Star Trek Voyager. I and Mark Wright did Star Trek Voyager Celebration last year. And in terms of concept, I guess they are the books that I felt all TV shows should have. It's the way, you know, you get into a position in life where you can actually do things the way you want to do them. So that's what it is. It's an overview book. The kind of pitch that I gave everybody was it's like the world's best convention in book form. So you should get a sense of the people, you should hear some inside stories, and you should get a sense of all the different departments, all the things that go into making a TV show.
And then the Voyager book did very well, and that opened the door to the next subsequent stories to tell. And next on deck was obviously the 55th anniversary of the original series. And if you follow the math, you can probably guess what the next books are.
So given how many years have passed since the original Star Trek was on the air and the people who were involved, so many of them have passed away by now, how hard was it to dig as deeply into the history and the mythology of the show for what you wanted for the book?
Well, one of the reasons that I wanted to work with Ian on this book as opposed to anyone else was because between the two of us, we had talked to so many people. And so we both had extensive archives. We have files, as they say in Terminator 2, that we could go through and pull things out and put things together. That was very important to me. I mean, obviously, it would have been better if we could have gone and done loads of new interviews, but that was, you know, increasingly not an option. I mean, Ian did track down quite a few people, and I found a couple of people myself as well who hadn't really talked. But it was very much about curating things from all these different places and bring them together in one place. One of the things I became clear to us when we were looking at what everybody else had done is that there's never really been a book with lots of pictures in, at least, that covers everything that went into making Star Trek. And that was the goal, to bring it all together in one place.
And the fact that a number of the people were gone, as Ben started to allude to, we both had spoken to all of those people, frankly. I was going to say many, but I really don't think there's... I mean, I spoke to Roddenberry when I was in college. So we covered...
Gene Coon. I wish we'd... Nobody ever really interviewed Gene Coon in any depth. But we had, you know, we had talked to a lot of other people.
Right. So we were able to cover a lot of ground and use different sources for that material to help tell the story that needed to be told. The information was out there is the best way to put it.
You just had to know where to look for it. Awesome. Now, the pictures that you used, the photographs, the stills, the behind-the-scenes shots, the models, how hard was it to actually get people who knew where all this stuff was archived? I'm hoping it was easier than it was 30 years ago, but that there's still so much out there that people have forgotten even existed.
There's a ton of stuff. I mean, one of the things that I really wanted to do with the book was to have pictures that people had not seen 1,000 times. And, you know, both Ian and I have consumed a lot of Star Trek over the years. So when we were looking for stuff, we knew what was new and different. We knew what people hadn't seen. Ian unlocked one of the big keys because he knows James Corley, who created the replica sets up in Ticonderoga. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Ian, you managed to talk to James about that.
Right, yeah. So James had a massive archive of photos that he's bought. So it's basically a private collector buying collections from other private collectors, and now he has them. And because it's Star Trek and it's CBS and the book is licensed, we were able to use any photos that were done for Star Trek back then, now. And I know one of the things Ben and I are happiest about with the book, actually, is that the photos are so cool and so contemporary looking that just popping them into the book the way they are now, they stand out like a modern book. If you look at the photos in the book, you don't think necessarily that you're looking at the 1960s. Sure, some of the designs, yes, it was just the period, but the actual photos themselves could have been taken now. And that was really pretty cool. And James Cawley had tons of photos. And there was a day where Ben and I were on the phone with James and his son, literally doing a Zoom call, because this was in the middle of the pandemic, going through photos, saying, ooh, we were like kids in a candy shop, is the way I always put it. We'd never seen some of these shots before, or they were variations of shots we had seen before. So if it was new and exciting for the two of us, we really thought, hey, this would be very cool and exciting to people reading the book. And so far, the reaction has been exactly that. One of the biggest comments in any reviews of the books that we've seen are, wow, where did they get these photos? We've never seen them before. One of the stories I tell is I was with George Takei in August at the big Star Trek convention. And he and his husband, Brad, were there, and they were looking at the chapter on George, obviously. And I, just for argument's sake, say there were 7 photos of George in there. 3 of them, they had never seen before. Wow. And they're asking me, where did you get those photos, and how can we get them? Because he wants those to sign autographs on in the future. So that was really cool and a good validation of what we were trying to do with the book.
Yeah, that's...
And then the other person who was a really big help is Gerald Gurian. He runs the Star Trek Prop Authority. It's a website, if you're a hardcore Trekkie, you will know about. And what used to happen was Gene and Majel would take like the film trims from the editing suite and cut them up and sell them at conventions. So they all have clapperboards in. So every time we could find one of these, they always had a clapperboard. So you'd know exactly which day it was taken on, which episode it was taken in. But Gerald had collected a load of those. So those made a big contribution. And then James had also had some concept art for costumes, which was great. And then in addition to that, I had some stuff that Matt Jeffries had given me himself. Matt gave me a great big folder with 350 odd slides in it or something like that before he sold his collection. So, you know, we had quite a few sources of things that aren't just lying around.
Nice. Now, you mentioned how much of these photos, these archives are in the hands of private collectors. As now a steadfast pillar in the archives of Star Trek, do you wonder or have questions about, you know, how do we make sure this stuff stays around and is accessible for, you know, another 50 years?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, what happened was that Gene basically took the archives away when he left Paramount. So Paramount and CBS, who inherited everything from them, didn't actually have it themselves. So it's not all held in one central place. I mean, I think the collectors, and there are a couple of others out there, are very serious about this stuff. You know, they're not going to just let it fall by the wayside. But yeah, it is a thing actually, to have some kind of project to get all the stuff back into the hands of the studio, I think would be a good thing. But for the meantime, we kind of know where it is. I mean, I'm sure there are some bits and pieces that are missing even now, but yeah, it would be a good thing to get it back together.
So you mentioned that, more celebration volumes are, pending. I'm going to guess those are Next Generation and Deep Space Nine.
Couldn't possibly comment. We haven't announced anything, but there are some significant anniversaries coming up.
Well, speculating, hypothetically speaking, would some of those same collectors who you borrowed from for Star Trek, the original series, would you be revisiting them, or would you need to revisit them to dive deep into their archives for those two shows?
Oh, well, those two shows are interesting. I mean, in terms of what one might put out there that people haven't seen before, because there are pictures in the official archives that have not been published. There are quite a few, as that is not an understatement. And then also there are things where the people who worked on the show still have concept art, still have storyboards, still have pictures of models, all those kind of things. So, I mean, I have a really substantial archive of everything, from everything. But you know, TOS is probably the hardest one because it didn't stay in the official archives. And as you say, so many people have passed, so they don't have anything to offer up anymore.
But there are private collectors who have stuff. James Crawley, for example, does have some of Bill Tice's sketches.
Yeah.
And original costumes from TNG as well, because of the relationship he had formed. It just so happens that the man went from one show to the other. So yes, James has some of that, for example. And I'm sure there's other people that have similar stories to James out there who have materials from people that they've gotten either handed off as a gift or found at a garage sale or in the garbage can. I mean, stuff got tossed and people picked it.
Oh, that's...
Or bought at vast expense at auction.
For that.
Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome. So is there a Star Trek concept that you would like to put into a book that hasn't been talked about yet?
Yeah, we have ideas. I have some projects that I'm very excited about that will be out in 2020. Well, I'm very excited about some of the things that are happening in 2022, but I've got some really nice ideas that won't make it out till 2023. But I'm unfortunately not at liberty to announce them here. The big thing that we're doing at the moment is we're working with Nana Visitor on a book about Star Trek's portrayal of and influence on women. And we just did some stuff for that at the Star Trek convention in London this last weekend. And it's just such a big subject and so many important things to say. I was blown away by some of the interviews that we did this last weekend. I'm just, you know, as a middle-aged, middle-class white man, my eyes were opened somewhat to the way people have to deal with the world.
And Ian?
I'm not part of that book other than helping promote it, but I can tell you that I know that, you know, it's called The Woman's Trek. And what's interesting about it is that it's not just, it's Nana visiting women who either made a difference through Star Trek or are the people who were the recipients of experiencing Star Trek. So how it affected them. So you're talking about some of the actresses, guest stars from the original show all the way through to the current shows. You're talking about obviously like a Kate Mulgrew, who played a central role as a mm-hmm. as a female in Star Trek. And then you're talking about maybe an astronaut, a female astronaut who grew up watching Star Trek and is now on the space station. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. And it's not just astronauts, it's all sorts of women and how they were affected. And I believe there may be some men in there too commenting on how—
One or two, but we don't want it to be— one of the things that happened at the Star Trek convention is we had a panel where women could come up and talk about how Star Trek had affected them. And you got a sense of what a strong influence Janeway had been on a lot of people. But, you know, Nana said, oh, if any men want to speak as well. And when they came up, I was like, yeah, maybe you guys should have just let the other people speak, you know.
Awesome. Well, we are looking forward to the rest of the labors of love surrounding Star Trek that Hero Collector is putting out there. The book is available now. The book is absolutely gorgeous. And I'm thanking Hero Collector because we are going to be giving away copies of Star Trek, the original series, and Celebration. And for the listeners out there, the best place to follow you guys, I'm going to guess, is Twitter. But if I'm wrong, please elaborate.
It is for me, but Ian, you're more of a—
I'm
Facebook
on Twitter, player, but I'm more active on Facebook. So if anybody wants me out, just find me on Facebook. I'm there. I'm not hiding.
Well, we'll have links to the social media footprint, and I highly recommend that people lock their wallets away when they go to the shop, the Eagle Moss shop for Hero Collector, because there's too many nice things there. And my birthday's coming up, if anyone's listening. But Ben, Ian, thank you so much for sharing your insight and your passion for the Celebration book.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.
We do indeed. Thank you very much.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi. Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered. In every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families, to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
Hi, I'm Aaron Ashmore from Sci-Fi's Killjoys, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
And yes, the things that Hero Collector has had available previously and might have available again in the future are, to me, enticing. Intriguing. I'm a fan of the books, but what I didn't realize was how extensive the collection of model ships was. If I had known how many there were and how quickly they sell out, I think I would have jumped on that train a little bit sooner. But the celebration, Star Trek, the original series, the celebration book is gorgeous. If you are a fan of Star Trek, the original series, they also have a celebration reference for Voyager. And we can infer that celebration references for other Star Trek franchises may appear in the future. 2022, 2023, they'll be there. They're coming. But if you want to get your own copy of Star Trek, the original series, A Celebration, we are currently giving away copies of that for you to win. Just head on over to the website, sliceofscifi.com, click on the article, the post for the giveaway. The giveaway runs through, I believe, December 16th. You can enter for one of the books. You can enter for all of them. We will be picking winners for those books on December 16th. And I don't believe they will get to everyone in time for Christmas, but it is my sincere goal to get them out to everyone by New Year's. That's my target, and I'm sticking to it. But how about you? What do you want to see more of in the Star Trek worlds? Let me know. Send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. Or come on by the website, sliceofscifi.com, and leave a comment in the show notes, the show posts for these episodes. Or, you know, hit me up on Twitter, @sliceofscifi. I will get into conversations over there. Come on by. Start a geeky conversation. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please leave us a review. Help signal boost the show. Get it in front of other geeks' ears who may not have heard of us, even though we've been around for 16 years. And yes, once again, this is episode 1000. You can also leave a review or a rating for us over on Podchaser. I'm trying to improve that listing over on Podchaser by interconnecting with other podcasts that we've featured or been featured on with guests who have appeared on the show over the years. So that's a work in progress. Come on by, check it out, leave a rating, leave a review. I'd like to thank everyone who is currently helping to support efforts in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe, including the podcast here, Slice of Sci-Fi, also over at Writers After Dark and Babylon Podcast. You can find those, writersafterdark.com, babylonpodcast.com. And yes, if you missed it, Tim and I are planning to do a revival of sorts of the Babylon podcast once the new series is in production and has air dates and all that fun stuff. Yeah, we couldn't stay away. Are you kidding me? More Babylon 5 after all these years? Yes, please. Your donations, your support through Patreon, through PayPal, through Ko-fi really do help keep the websites going, the media hosted. Literally, thanks to you all. If you want to add your support, the place to go One of the places to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi, and you can pick a tier, a support level over there, and become eligible for Patreon perks. Every month I pick a winning email out of the hat, so to speak, and that person gets to choose from books that were sent as review materials for Writers After Dark, movies, DVDs, Blu-rays, 4Ks, movies and television shows that I covered here on Slice of Sci-Fi. You guys get first dibs at the review materials I can't keep because, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there and I don't have the space to keep all of it. So the Slice of Sci-Fi supporters, you guys, your listeners, fans, friends of the show, everyone who helps keep this train going gets to share in the swag. Still working on how to integrate the coffee donations into that. You can go to ko-fi.com/sliceofscifi, coffee.com. Or if you prefer to leave a donation every now and then, the link to use is paypal.me/scifisummer. Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We are continuing this Hero Collector extravaganza because we have more books to give away. So we'll be back with that on more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.